The boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The phrase, "it is I," is best translated, "I am." So what Jesus is literally saying here is, "Take heart, I am." The significance of this is that is the same designation used by God when he is speaking in the burning bush to Moses. You guys remember that from Exodus? "I am." The theological connection here is, quite simply, when Jesus calls himself "I am," he is confessing that he is true God. He is true God, true man, begotten of the Father, everlasting, full of grace and truth. So the storm is raging, and yet God is on the scene. "I am" is there, walking on his waves, unaffected by the storm. So don't be afraid. Most, if not all of us, have heard someone quip something like, "If only I saw a miracle, then that would do it. Then I would believe." Miracles, though, can be terrifying, and miracles do not always come before faith. Jesus' disciples, they see a miracle. God is walking on the waves. High winds are battering the boat. Land isn't an option, it's too far away. And to make matters worse, they look at God walking on the waves and they think he is what? A ghost. And their confusion, their fear, is only helped by the word. It takes God speaking to them before they realize this is not a ghost. It is their Savior. "Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid." And Peter, the zealous Peter, his courage erupts at this divine word. He's not content to stay in the boat, but he says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you upon the water." Now, if it is possible to see Peter doubting with these words, it's just as possible to see these words as a confession of faith, that Peter wants to be with his Lord in the storm, and on that point, who could blame him? Whatever the exact nature of Peter's desire, Jesus' command to Peter, "Come," that's a good command. It's a righteous command from God himself. So when Peter steps on the deadly waves, he is responding to God's command. That's good. Jesus says, "Come," and at that one divine word, Peter is right to do so. But the strong wind is too much, and he sinks, and he cries out, "Lord, save me, save me." And at that cry, "Lord, save me," Jesus immediately seizes his dying friend and puts him back in the boat, but not without a little rebuke. "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Peter should have clung to the word. Jesus said, "Come." So Peter was permitted to do so, and he could have done it by divine decree. But he sinks, and the Lord saves him. All of us in here know a lot about doubt, because we do it a lot. God clearly speaks in Scripture, but the storms of life scare us away. The wind always looks too strong, doesn't it? We don't believe as we should and thus sink. Peter is a lesson, though. He's a lesson that Christ still saves, even when faith is afflicted to the point of despair. We despair of ourselves, we realize our weaknesses and our doubts, yet faith cries to God who saves even during bouts with unbelief. "Lord, save me." And Jesus does not look at Peter during that time and say, "Well, I don't know. Well, let me think about what you have done for me lately or what you have left undone." No, Peter cries, "Lord, save me." That's a cry of faith. That's what faith does. Faith cries to Jesus. And Jesus immediately reaches out and saves the sinner. They get into the boat and then creation calms down. Everything becomes quiet. Everything really is fine in the storm. "Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid." That is God's word to you. Don't be afraid. And apart from that word, when we look out at the world, it's frightening. The disciples couldn't tell if this being walking on the water was God or a ghost. They think he is a ghost. Now, I don't think any of you are professional fishermen, at least not to my knowledge. But I know there are plenty of other things that cause you to question the identity of God, like when sickness strikes, it infiltrates your body, and when you're laying on your back thinking about maybe even death. What do you know about God during those times? In other words, do you doubt? Do you become afraid? Do you question God's will, whether it is good or evil? Do you think God is near you or perhaps a ghost? Do you think it is God afflicting you or maybe Satan? Is this God or a demon? When the pain is great and the suffering increases. Trying to make sense of things apart from God's certain word, that will only breed confusion, and it will cause you to doubt. The disciples were perishing in a storm and didn't know, is this God or a ghost? Until what happens? God speaks. God speaks to them. Take heart. I am. Do not be afraid. In the storms of life, whatever they may be, that is God's word to you, his child. Don't be afraid. I am. Take heart. Be of good courage. You belong to your Lord. You see, God's word brings clarity and assurance and comfort in troubling times. Like Job. We heard about Job this morning. Job gets a reminder that creation, as bad as it looks, as chaotic as it seems, creation still works according to God's good and gracious will. Job does what a lot of us do. He tries to make sense of everything in a dreadful situation, and it takes God reminding him, God speaking to him, God bringing his word to him, reminding him that everything really is in God's hands and not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from God's knowledge. Waves are silenced in a moment at God's command. As for us, our accusations, our excuses, it's all baseless. We haven't walked in the recesses of the deep. We don't shut in the sea with our own doors, and we don't tell proud waves where to stop. The morning does not come at our command, and we weren't there when the earth's foundations were laid. This puts things in perspective we shouldn't forget and mustn't doubt. Creation belongs to God. Satan is God's devil. I repeat, Satan is God's devil. The storm does not erupt apart from God's knowledge, and he works all things for the good of his children. We too hear the word and often respond in boldness. We decry fear and doubt, noticing these things for what they are, sins forbidden by God, whose law chastises us for not believing as we should. But Peter's boldness on the water doesn't last very long, and yet his little faith is still faith, compelling him to call upon his Savior. Lord, save me! And then God's firm hand seizes the sinner from death. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And why do we? God's loving rebuke reminds us how silly doubt and fear are when you belong to the Lord of creation and everlasting King. And our response to such a rebuke isn't to offer excuses, but do as the disciples do and worship and confess Jesus as the true Son of God who freely saves sinners. Freely saves sinners as they perish. Friends in Christ, when sins trouble you and burden your conscience, and they really weigh on your mind, the one thing we need is that word of absolution, the word of God's gospel, the power of salvation. Take heart. I am. Do not be afraid. That's God's absolution upon frightened sinners. That's God saying, don't be afraid of anything, even your sin. Even your sin. Because the Lord Jesus has overcome the world precisely because of his atonement that has paid for your sin. Satan is cast out. The victory does belong to you for the sake of Christ Jesus. Don't be afraid. Remember your Savior who tramples his waves and he puts lightning precisely where he chooses. He has overcome the entire world by his death and cast Satan out. Jesus still governs the world as he is captured by men and led to the cross. Darkness covers the earth at his command while he is dying on the tree. The rocks split and the earth quakes at his death, a death to save the entire world, including you. In your dark hour, when you feel as if you're sinking below the waves, right? You know those times. You're up to here in muck and the mud. Your cry is, Lord, save me. The second commandment teaches that. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. That means use it rightly. Call upon God's name in every trouble. Use it. He will deliver you. He does not abandon his people. Like Peter, he will save you immediately. He saves those who call upon his name. And that's what faith does. Faith uses the name of God. Faith looks to and calls upon God in Christ to save, and he always does. He seizes you. He lifts you into the boat. You know, it's a common metaphor to see the boat as the church. Maybe you've heard that. Many theologians have picked up on that, that the boat really is like the church. Notice in the text, when Christ gets back into the boat, what happens to creation? It calms down. The meaning for us is, as long as Christ is in the church, and he is, everything is okay. Fears dissipate. Creation is nothing to be afraid of. Sin is nothing to be afraid of. Your sins have been washed. You are forgiven in Jesus. There is nothing to be afraid of. He has overcome even the entire world. In his name, you are safe. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That mighty name put upon you in the waters of holy baptism. Call upon that name every day as you live in that name. By the faith that seizes the very mercy of God in Christ, because he has first seized you and placed you in his kingdom. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, may his peace guard and protect your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen.